Week five, foundations, week five. And again this week, I want us to look at the basics, the fundamentals, the foundations that I believe should be part of every believer's life. Really, this is the basic, this is the foundational, the basement type stuff that we need to have in our life that will help us to maintain the proper structure in our life. And again, I'm sharing with you some of the very first things that I had learned as a brand new believer myself. And in fact, this one today, I learned within the first 3 weeks of becoming a Christian. My first 3 weeks as a student, college student at Oral Roberts University. And this one has served me well my entire, well, for the last 45 years as I followed Christ. And this morning, I'm going to talk to you about generosity. Generosity. And I want you to know right up front that this is not a message on tithing. This is not a message on giving offerings. This is really a message on generosity. You're probably thinking, what's the difference? You're going to see the difference. And here's one right off from the beginning. The reason that I say this is not about tithing or offerings, this is about generosity, is because generosity is bigger than tithing. Really, generosity extends beyond giving 10% of our finances. In fact, it goes beyond finances. Generosity goes beyond finances because it needs to become a character quality of ours. It should become an attitude of ours. It should become a way of life for each and every one of us. And by the way, I want you to know from the onset here this morning that church folks are the most generous in the entire realm of philanthropy. Really. And it really shouldn't surprise us, but I share this fact with you this morning because we so very often, it really kind of gets my ire, because we so very often see various corporations and we see retail giants on television being recognized in the media for their huge gifts. They always seem to get featured for the large checks. And you know how they're presented, right? They actually have a literal large check made out to some foundation or some nonprofit, and there's all kinds of pats on the back. They get featured for these large checks that they write, don't they? While the rest of us little people get no credit. But the fact is that corporations give less than 1/20th of what the rest of us all give together. Less than 1/20th. And so I want to share with you some statistical facts from Fast Company, and this is based on data from Giving USA. And it's from September 13th of 2018. Listen to this, and I'm quoting directly. It says, charitable giving in the United States reached $410 billion last year, primarily on the strength of individuals donating more. Individuals donating more. While corporations accounted for about 5%. Did you hear that? Individual Americans were responsible for 95% of all giving. Corporations only gave 5%. I hope that makes you feel good. Again, they get the credit on the media, but we're doing the job. And get this too, Americans are the most generous people in the world. In 2016, Americans gave more than 10% of their GDP to charity. And what that means is this, that there's what we gave is more than France, Germany, Italy, Spain, and Norway combined. And I'm not talking raw dollars, raw numbers here. This is percentage comparison. You know, you could easily say, well, gosh, you know, we have a larger GDP. We make more money in America. We're wealthier than those. No, this is percentage of what we gave. And then we Americans gave twice as much away as the British. And of course, you know what? Bible-believing Christians are the best givers of all. Amen? You got to assume that. And probably because we know God's word. I mean, simple passages like Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25. One of my favorites in all the Bible. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds what is right, only to become poor. Okay, again, generosity is going to find you reaping a reward. And verse 25, a generous soul will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And how about Matthew 10, verse 8? Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. And 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. You talk about generosity. See, it goes beyond finance. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given. Proverbs 22:9, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they shall share their food with the poor. 2 Corinthians 9:7, God loves a cheerful giver. And you know, we even have the New Testament account of the Macedonians. This is a great portion of Scripture too, where Paul uses them as an illustration of how even the poor can be generous. A lot of times, poor people feel like they can't give. And if they don't give, and I'm just going to slip into tithing for a minute. If poor people don't tithe, they're going to be stuck poor, I'm telling you right now. If all you make is $10 a week, give a tenth, I guarantee you over time, God is going to raise you up. I'm not talking about tithing. I want to get back to generosity. But poor people can be generous too, just like they can tithe. Everyone, anyone can be generous, whether they have a lot to give or very little to give. And Paul cites the Macedonians because they were examples of what he himself called excessive generosity in the midst of excessive poverty. Excessive generosity in the midst of excessive poverty. Listen to what Paul wrote. This is 2 Corinthians 8:1. Paul said, "Now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the churches of Macedonia. In the terrible ordeal they suffered," they were going through some really hard times. "In the terrible ordeal they suffered, their abundant joy and deep poverty overflowed into rich generosity. For I testify that they gave according to their ability and even beyond it, of their own accord. They pleaded earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And not only did they do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us because it was the will of God." And so anyways, you know, my first encounter with generosity happened, as I told you, it happened in the first 3 weeks of college. In one of the university chapel services, again, I'm a brand new Christian, brand new to the environment, brand new to the university. Oral told the student body in this one chapel, he told the student body that there was a student, and if I can't remember everything, but I believe that he was probably an international student, come from somewhere outside the U.S. He'd gotten extremely ill. Upon arrival at campus, he had to be hospitalized, and apparently there was little or maybe even no insurance coverage. And the university, I believe, was helping him financially, but the need was still wasn't being met. And so Oral took up a collection among the students, and he asked for us students to get involved and to give as we felt led. Okay, again, this isn't a tithe. This is a gift. This is about generosity. So, a few weeks ago, I shared with you a message where I told you, you know, when I got out to Oral Roberts University, I brought $20. That was it. First semester, I brought $20 for spending money. But you know, in that chapel service, I emptied my wallet of everything I had. I was really moved. I mean, this need touched me like I'd never been touched before. And as poor as I was, I didn't feel poor, but as poor as I was in reality, I felt an incredible empathy for this guy's situation. He was too ill to come to chapel, and in the end, I never did find out who he was. It didn't matter. But I really felt moved. And even though I had given away everything I had, chapel ended, I went back to my dorm, went back about my... I tell you what, I still wanted to do more. And so I went to the guys on my dorm floor, and I borrowed money from them. I didn't tell them what it was for. I just wanted money. You know, a couple bucks from this one, $5 from that one. And I got together $50, and I gave that money at the next chapel service because I really wanted to help this guy. Well, a few weeks went by, and people wanted to get paid back. And I began to feel a little pressure because I didn't have any money. I had no idea how I was going to pay him back. I hadn't really thought this thing through. I was too concerned about this one person with need. Again, someone, they didn't feature him. I don't think we had the ability for projection back then, but, you know, they didn't have a picture of him. I knew nothing about him other than it was somebody in need. And I gave, and I borrowed money to give more. But, you know, get this, before things got really bad, before people got really mad at me, One afternoon, I went to the campus post office, opened the box. Usually it's empty. But I opened that little P.O. box, and there was a letter from an uncle who I hadn't seen it or heard from in years, really. And inside was a brief note from him and a $50 bill. Those were the old days when you actually put cash in an envelope and mailed it across country, you know. He lived from Connecticut to Oklahoma. And I was able to pay everyone off and get them off my back. No, really, I did. I felt the pressure. You see, I gave, and God gave back to me. And that was an important lesson for me. And it wasn't one that had been taught to me yet by a preacher or a pastor or even the guys on my dorm floor. I learned Luke 6:38 even before I read it in the Bible. Really, I learned it. I practiced it before I even saw it in print. Give and it shall be given. That's Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given. And take note here. I want you to notice this was not a tithe. This had nothing at all to do with tithing. And I can say this for two reasons. First, I didn't have any money to tithe from. The tithe comes from your earnings. I had no earnings. The other thing, another reason that it wasn't a tithe is because it wasn't 10%. It was 100%. In fact, it was a borrowed 100%. I don't know if there's such a thing as deficit giving. There's deficit spending, I know, but this is deficit giving. And then secondly, this wasn't a tithe because I wasn't giving to God. I was giving to another student in need. It was simply generosity. You see the difference? But see, what's important here is that I did not give out of legalism. I did not give out of compulsion or guilt or manipulation. I gave with a heart that cared. Bottom line, I cared about someone who I never got to meet, never saw him. Now, I have no idea who he is. Very much like the Macedonians that we read about just a little bit ago. They were poor, they were destitute, and yet their hearts went out. It says that they asked Paul, can we give to that other church? Can we give to the Christians in that other city who are enduring incredible persecution? And it is, it's believed that their offerings are being sent to Christians living in Jerusalem. If you remember, you know, the Holy Spirit fell upon the 120 disciples or apostles in the city of Jerusalem. Overnight, there's 3,000 more added to the numbers of the church. Every day, people are getting saved, getting baptized, becoming part of the church in Jerusalem. And they're having a hallelujah party. I mean, I've probably never seen since. Jerusalem is lighting up with the gospel. And I mean, if you read Acts chapter 2, they're sharing everything. They have everything in common. They're rejoicing with one another. I mean, these are some great days. And then all of a sudden, persecution comes. Remember you read about that, about verse chapter 6? Persecution comes. Stephen gets stoned to death. Everybody scattered, but for a handful of apostles. Everybody, all the Christians moved out of Jerusalem. But then, of course, you know, you have a few who stayed behind and they continue to reach others and the church begins to grow. And I'm going to tell you what, to be a Christian in Jerusalem, you paid a heavy price at that time. As tough as it was among the Macedonians, they were so poor. It talked about their deep poverty, and that word for deep is the same word, it's bathos, which means like a bathysphere. It's a device, it's a vehicle that can be put under the water and go to the deepest parts of the ocean. That's the same kind of word, same root word. They had deep poverty in Macedonia, but they felt their hearts ached for their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. And I love that it said in that passage we read out of Corinthians, I love that it said they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. That when I saw that for the first time, it reminded me what I did as a brand new Christian. I gave beyond my ability. I mean, think about it. This isn't a point of boasting, but have you ever thought to borrow from people in order to give? I don't do it unless God tells you to do it. I mean, it was a little uncomfortable for about 3 weeks after. But that's really what I had done. I borrowed money that wasn't mine. I gave beyond my ability. And then later on in chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the principle of giving and generosity is expounded upon just a little bit more when it tells us in 2 Corinthians 8:12, for if the willingness is there, then the gift is acceptable. If the willingness, meaning the heart, if the heart is there, if your heart is willing to be generous, then that gift is acceptable. And then it says, according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. according to what one has, not what one does not have. So again, take note of what we read so far. The Macedonians did not give a tithe to the persecuted church in Jerusalem. They were much more generous than that. They gave beyond what they could afford to give in the natural. And then secondly, notice that they are giving to people, they're giving to brothers and sisters in Christ whom they do not know. Macedonia is a long way from Jerusalem. They're giving to people they don't know, people that they probably never met this side of heaven, on this earth. Do you see that? And then thirdly, consider this. Paul is sending this letter, including this information about the generosity of the poor Macedonian Christians. Paul is sending this letter to the Corinthian Christians. See, we read 2 Corinthians. It's a letter to the Corinthian church. He's writing to the Corinthians, bragging about the Macedonians and their generosity. Paul's doing this on purpose. He's using them as an example that you can be poor and still be generous. And understand this, if the Macedonians are the poorest people in the world at that time, the Corinthians are probably the wealthiest people in the world at that time. Outside of maybe some that are in Rome, Corinth was, I'm telling you what, it was an exclusive port city. And Paul is including this account, this true story, in order to educate these Corinthian believers about how to be generous. He's trying to teach them a lesson. You see, generosity is all about giving from what you have. Not giving out of compulsion or without caring, because ultimately God loves a cheerful giver, not one who gives begrudgingly. And I just wonder, I mean, you know, the Corinthians, they probably were giving, but begrudgingly. That's the sense of what I get when I read that. They certainly had the wealth with which to give, but they probably weren't giving with the right heart. They may not have been giving with the right attitude. And I love how real the Bible is, because here's a very real comparison, a very clear comparison between two groups of people, two churches in two different parts of the world, two different cities, one poor but generous, and the other one wealthy and very much self-serving. It's still the same today. As I already showed you, corporations get all this acclaim, and yet they only give 5%. They only give 5% of what's handed out. And I would also suggest to you that the 95% that's supplied by individuals, I have to assume that most of it comes from average people like you and me. And what I mean by this is, you know, Hollywood doesn't give what we give. Again, they get the acclaim, don't they? Some famous actor, some musician, they give to this cause, and, you know, it's all, you know, praise to them. Music artists, professional athletes, the extreme wealthy like Jeff Bezos and others, they don't give the percentages that we give. I know they don't. And I want to read to you a portion of an article I found from Atlantic Magazine. It concerns the late Steve Jobs, founder of Apple. This article is from when he was alive, so it is dated. But listen to this. It says, despite accumulating an estimated $8.3 billion fortune through his holdings in Apple and a 7.4% stake in Disney through the sale of Pixar, there is no public record of Mr. Jobs giving money to charity. Not even on the radar. He is not a member of the Giving Pledge. If you know what that is, that's an organization founded by Warren Buffett and Bill Gates to persuade the nation's wealthiest families to pledge at least half of their fortunes to be given away. He declined to participate. It says, nor is there a hospital wing or an academic building with his name on it. Just never donated money. In 1997, when Mr. Jobs returned to Apple, he closed the company's philanthropic programs. Again, he was there in the beginning. They fired him. He came back, immediately shut down any giving that Apple was doing. Says at the time, he said he wanted to restore the company's profitability, despite the fact the company had $14 billion in profits and $76 billion in cash stored away. The giving programs were never reinstated. Now, I bring that to your attention, not to despise the wealthy, but rather to let you know something. We're crushing it. We are. We're crushing it. I mean, as Christians in America, and specifically as Praise Assembly, the average person, the average Christian is doing incredible things. And I'll tell you, you know me, I don't like boasting about myself. I don't even like boasting about us. But this is real. This is real. And as we do this together, you know, our church is doing great things. We're doing way more than almost every church in our movement in America. In fact, our giving in 2018 placed us in the top 40 churches in America out of 13,000 churches. And in fact, just last week, I received our final missions giving statement from the World Missions Department of Assemblies of God. And we gave last year. If you were at our business meeting, you saw that we gave about $442,000 to World Missions. But the actual final official report comes from headquarters because money gets to them, credited to us in some other way. Many of you mail in directly to ministries, and this church gets the credit for it. But listen to this. Last year, we gave $555,270.12 to missions. Unbelievable. Praise God. Yes. Yes. If we're going to boast, we're going to boast in the Lord. I knew with our $442,000 figure that we'd be somewhere near $500,000, but we went over. We gave beyond our ability. You happy Macedonians, you. $555,270.12. It's hard for me. You know how numbers and math are, but I actually have that one memorized. And I just got it as I opened the mail this morning. And remember too though, that this is not only about money. We can be generous with our time. Or should be generous with our time, with our abilities as well as our finances. This idea of generosity, it's not limited to money. This is about giving of ourselves on every level. I mean, let's face it, sometimes, you know, it can be easier to write a check than to be part of a ministry to boys or girls or visiting those in prison or a nursing home or a soup kitchen. Honestly. And this is no doubt what Jesus had in mind, because he talked about it when he spoke these words in Matthew's gospel, the 25th chapter. He said, and this is Matthew 25, verse 34. It says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you visited me.' And then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick and in prison and visit you?' And the king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" See, he's talking about generosity. I mean, some of it involves money, maybe feeding somebody, maybe clothing them, but visiting someone, that shouldn't cost you a whole lot of money. You see, this is all about being generous from our core. Giving of ourselves to others, being willing to be a servant. And you know what? Even giving a kind word to someone. And I love Proverbs 15:23. It says, "A person finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word." How good is a time? Isn't encouragement a powerful thing? Really? Proverbs 18:21 says, "The power of life and death is in the tongue." So we need to learn to give good words to others. And there's this horrible paradox taking place in our culture and our society. Really, where, you know, to be politically correct, you have to be very careful with your words. And yet there are some wordsmiths out there that know how to strike right to the heart and get away with it. Blows me away. Our current culture is so critical. Really. You know, you go somewhere, you get a bad meal somewhere, what do? Well, hopefully you don't do it. You go to Yelp, you go to Twitter, you get it all over. You know, really. I mean, you ought to see, hey, we get some good stuff on Facebook about our church. People do like our church. visitors, you know, people come in, first-time guests, and they will. There's some neat things. In fact, I saw them kind of scrolling during the announcements this morning. I forget about those. But it's easy. It's easy from a distance to be critical. And really, people are downright mean today. They really are. And not always from a distance. They'll get in your face. And they're always looking to defame. They're always looking to belittle. How easy it would be for us to be a witness to the world around us if we just gave of ourselves to others through kind words, don't you think? It would be so novel. It would be so unique. What I'm telling you is be generous with your praises. But if you can hold on to that one, I don't think I need to talk to you about finances, really. I mean, you're generous. You're generous financially. But how about we be generous with our words, with our praises? And it's okay to praise and recognize those around you for who they are and a job well done. Proverbs 27:2 says, let someone else praise you and not your own mouth. But look at society. Look at the cultural elite in America. They're all ready to praise themselves. They pat each other on the back. Oscars, Emmys, and all that stuff. Shame on you if you miss a Sunday night to watch one of those stupid shows. Really. Amen. People's choice. Don't even vote. Let someone else praise you. And not your own mouth. An outsider. And not your own lips. That's Proverbs 27:2. I don't think I gave it to them, but let's learn to praise others for the great job they're doing. It's so easy. Guys, it's so easy. You know, you miss one little thing. You know, you do a great job, miss one little thing, and there's always a dozen people where you say, you know what, you forgot that, you know. And I forget things now and then. Let's make the church a place where appreciation and kind words prevail. Let's take the time to be generous with our words and let's express our gratitude to those who are watching our babies and our toddlers right now. You're here, they're there, and somebody's watching them. They're trained, they're screened, they're quality people. And maybe Miss Lucy, who is forever out of our sight, because she's leading her own kids' church service right now. That's just a couple examples. I don't want to take all morning and go, you know, thank this one, thank that one. And folks, the reality is that our words don't cost us a thing. They don't cost you a thing. And yet, you know, I think sometimes because of their absence, their lack of practice, I look at this and, you know, it would be easy for us to imagine that giving kind words was like donating an organ. Are you with me on this? It's really easy. There's no anesthesia required, no hospital stay, really. And some people are so, it's like you'd think they were giving away their kidney to somebody. It's a small act of generosity. And yet it becomes a huge gift to the recipient. Because you get out there, you get beat up out there. Shouldn't get beat up in here. Hello? Okay, four if you believe it. Yikes. All I wanted was a little encouragement. You know, it's like, I don't care. I'm going to yell at you anyway. So, no, really, those kind words become life-giving sustenance. Read the book of Psalms. Read the book of Proverbs. Read some of the epistles. It's what keeps some people going. And so, yes, let's be generous with our finances. Yeah, let's keep doing that. But let's also be generous with our time. And let's be generous with our words. Amen? Let's be generous. Oh, that was better. Now that I'm near the end here. Let's be generous with our words. Because it's actually a reflection. It's a reflection of our attitudes. Let me close. And I want to close with this. I just want to encourage you to become a generous person. A more generous person. Because I think we are pretty generous. And I'll tell you what, it wouldn't be wrong if like 50 of you, when you go to pick up your kids, just all told Lucy how wonderful she was. Really, it wouldn't hurt. She'd realize something's up, you know. But it would just kind of blow her mind. It's like, really, what is it April 1st? you know, just really just bless her. And maybe when you go down the hallway this way to pick up your kids out of nursery or toddler, same thing, you know, I mean. And then, of course, we have Wednesday night coming up. Just those little things. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Be generous in every way you can, because God loves a cheerful giver. He does.